Common Anomaly podcast for episode number 6. I'm your host, Stuart James, flying solo today. Welcome back, everybody. I'm back for another episode this week on my own once again. It's going to be a little bit of a different episode. I had kind of a plan this week for something special for you guys, kind of a different episode with a really different production style, a totally different vibe, and I just felt like experimenting. And it's shaping up to be pretty cool, but I just need more time with it. It's not quite coming together just fast enough to get out on schedule this week, and I really didn't want to go a week without an episode. I really didn't want to break the stride of a weekly episode. So I'm doing an 11th hour kind of pivot here and in a different direction at the last moment. So I'm sorry if it's a little janky. It's a little shoestring together here. But I didn't want to leave a dead week for all you. I want to get something out. It might be a little bit shorter, but I think I've got some interesting stuff to get into with everyone today. So I wanted to dive into this character, a new whistleblower that's come out, I guess about 2 weeks ago now. I first appeared on News Nation by the name of Jacob Barber. So if you haven't heard this story, it's really quite interesting. He is a former Air Force who's been kind of working as a contractor, I guess. Long career in the U.S. Air Force. And then I guess in the early 2000s kind of went into undercover work, I guess. He started his own kind of piloting business and some legitimate business ventures of his own, which I guess were basically cover for his career as a kind of spec op kind of team that would do UFO recoveries or UAP recoveries for the government under the guise of this legitimate kind of piloting business. Really interesting story. So I was interviewed by Ross Colehart of News Nation. And so I've grabbed a couple clips from that interview, which we'll listen to in a little bit. But yeah, absorbing a lot of information about this guy. He's kind of joining a long list of whistleblowers that have come out in the last several years. You know, David Grush, a couple years before him, there was the Nimitz videos that came out that the Pentagon actually released. That's really what launched this kind of modern age of disclosure, if you want to call it that. So really interesting things going on. I'm not quite sure what to make of this guy. He's really interesting. And a lot of people have come out to kind of confirm who he is and his story. He seems like a legitimate fellow. And he's got quite an interesting story to tell about what he believes is a recovery operation of an alien spacecraft. So really juicy stuff, really juicy stuff. And I feel like it kind of flows naturally from my conversation with Clayton last week, where we were really kind of delving into the world of astronomy and trying to decipher certain discoveries of the past kind of decade or two that kind of maybe point in the direction of extraterrestrial life, but really from a perspective of, are they out there in the galaxy? Less so much of a conversation of, are they here visiting Earth? And I'm kind of disappointed Clayton and I never rolled around to get into that aspect of the conversation, but we were so deep on that other end of the spectrum that we never quite got there. So maybe I'll follow up with Clayton on another day and we'll cover this same material again and I'll get his opinion. But yeah, so first off, I've got the interview here, and let's just take a listen to this first clip and then we'll have a reaction to that.
In your time in deployment, you met certain people from an aerospace company, yeah, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Now, it's also part of the constraints you operate under that you can't name that aerospace company.
Correct. There's no good reason to name them, even if I wasn't constrained.
What were they doing there?
Well, they were supporting us with some new weapons technology that could be used to disable vehicles and aircraft.
I could disclose this. Yeah. My understanding is that they were essentially using, it was actually, I think it's a matter of public record, that microwave weapons, pulse microwave weapons, were being used at that time.
Correct. There were some early prototypes that were being used at that time. And I met individuals that were there representing the companies that were providing that service to the government, made some friends, and those relationships led to opportunities later in the California desert where I began my journey.
Before we go any further.
Okay, so immediately two aspects of that clip kind of jump out at me as strange. For one, I got to challenge the assertion that there's no interesting reason to mention which aerospace company he was aligned with or was making inroads through. That seems very relevant. Really curious to which company is involved in this, because that's the aspect of it. It's often speculated that using private industry to kind of help with the cover-up of exotic technologies and alien technologies is one way the government gets around kind of public disclosure, because the government is beholden by law for a certain degree of transparency with the public, but they can get around that by using private industry because private industry isn't beholden by the same laws. So I would really like to know which company this is. If your goal is truth and disclosure, surely that's very important information, because that's who the public would then, the next step would be to put pressure onto that company to say, hey, what do you know? What do you have? And they may or may not bow to that pressure, but that's how we get to the truth. So I really have a problem with that statement when he's saying it's not really important. That's very important. The second piece is this this reference to microwave pulse weapons used to disable aircraft. So that's really interesting, because there's certain accounts of vehicles, aircraft, other aircraft being disabled when in proximity of craft UAP that we're hearing described in his account and in other accounts later. So it kind of establishes that there's a form of weapon system or technology that is known about that is not necessarily classified, that it would explain some of these interactions with UAP that we see. So, okay, let's take a listen to the second clip.
And that's the primary reason I'm here to speak to you today.
Do you think Congress is being misled, deceived about what is secretly known about non-human intelligence, alien life?
Yeah, it's clear they don't have the full story.
What's being held back?
Just about everything. But there's another problem. I don't even know that they're giving it a proper attention to begin with. So, unfortunately, Congress is very ignorant when it comes to the subject.
So, very recently, the Pentagon spokesman assured press reporters in a Pentagon briefing that there is no evidence of extraterrestrial engagement with planet Earth. Mm. Is that true?
No, that's not true. Now, they like to hang their hat on some key words there, extraterrestrial. So that means outside of the planet Earth. And that is yet to be determined by my best understanding.
So you're saying you know for a fact there are aliens?
Yes, 100%.
There are alien craft?
100%.
Have you been involved in the recovery of those alien craft?
Well, Ross, yes, I have.
Okay, hold the phone. Okay, so here's my problem. I've had to listen to this clip like 5 times, and let's tease it apart because I'm a little confounded. So they're discussing how Congress is in the dark. The Pentagon has come out with a public statement just recently in response to this saying, no, absolutely, we have no evidence of extraterrestrials. Jacob Barber asserts that that's a lie, that's false, that he knows for certain that there is extraterrestrial, and he says they're kind of using a lie of omission in the fact that they're using the word extraterrestrial, because that is to be determined as far as he knows. And then Ross Coulthard comes back and says, but do you know for sure that aliens exist? And he says, yes, you know the craft exists. Yes, you've recovered them. Yes. That feels like a massive contradiction to me. It feels like he said, this hasn't been determined, but I know for certain that it has. And the kind of minutes that follow this clip, they don't really establish that in any meaningful way that I can tell. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something lost in the edit of the interview. But Ross Coulthard doesn't seem to realize that there's a massive contradiction in what was just said. So I don't get it. I don't know. I'm starting to feel like, okay, this gentleman, Jacob Barber, he seems genuine to me. His career seems legitimate. He was obviously involved in sensitive material recovery that, you know, is probably experimental craft by the government. And maybe he's just seen exotic craft that he thinks is alien in nature, but doesn't really know. And I mean, if your job is recovery, if you're a pilot and it's the whole purpose of your team is just to go pick up things the government tells you to pick up and deliver it where it needs to go, you're not necessarily being told what it is, what the nature of it is. You know, that feels like that's got to be speculation on his part. So I don't know what you think. I mean, I can believe that he's seen strange things. Obviously, he's tasked with handling sensitive equipment. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's privy to the nature of that equipment. And maybe we have some pretty exotic stuff. And that kind of pertains to our drone conversation from a couple weeks back. You know, maybe we really do have some very exotic aerospace technology at our access, and it's being kept quiet. And maybe that's the root of a lot of the UAP phenomenon. Maybe it is just we're really technologically farther ahead of the curve than we think we are, but it's all very classified. And that's what his job is about. And maybe he's just encountered some things that are very particularly strange to the point where it's mystifying to him, even though it's part of his job to handle sensitive material. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it right now. I've got one more clip to listen to. So let's have a look at that. But yeah, I believe this guy's genuine, but I'm starting to have my doubts that he knows for sure what he really knows.
So it became very clear the first time we recovered something that was non-human in origin, that it was precisely what we were dealing with. Our communications changed. Our communication process and procedure was modified. It was also clear to everyone on the team that what we were dealing with was something that was unexpected versus expected. And then just visually looking at the object on the ground, you could tell that it was extraordinary and anomalous. It was not human.
How close did you get?
Well, I was a helicopter pilot, and I operate with 150-foot to 200-foot long line. So I got within 150 feet of this object.
What did you see?
I saw an egg, a white egg.
How large was the object?
I would say approximately 20 feet, plus or minus a little bit, about the size of a large SUV.
Did it have any seams?
No.
What? And it was seams. pure white?
It was like pearly white, like a metallic pearly white, the best I could assess.
I mean, what you're describing sounds something like something out of a TV show.
Yeah. Well, Fortune, I'm going to share some images with you, and you can see one of these flying in the sky, if you like, in broad daylight.
So you... Okay, so this scans. So now he's describing this particular experience where he feels like he really encountered something truly out of this world, something truly alien, where, and he's describing, prior to this clip that I grabbed, they're talking about, you know, other missions he's done and other materials he's handled and how, you know, it's really quite boring. And the reason why he knew he was dealing with something very exotic, very unusual in this particular circumstance, and that everybody on his team felt weird about it. Protocols had been changed in how they were to handle this particular task and the strangeness of the object itself. He describes an egg. And there is a video. I'll link to this in the show notes to the entire interview if you want to check out the whole thing. It's almost 3 hours long. So we're not going to cover it in that much detail here, but it's all over YouTube, and it's by no means this one interview. He's really doing the circuit, Jacob Barber, and there's a video attached that's attributed to this experience where he's, I guess, covertly taken footage of what they were dealing with, and it's an egg-shaped craft. It is kind of an interesting video. When you first watch it, it seems kind of unremarkable. You're looking down a tether through what appears to be like night vision goggles and something like that. So everything's kind of got this green tinge to it, and you're seeing this odd egg, white egg-shaped structure at the bottom of the line that gets deposited to the ground, and the way it kind of moves around, you get the sense that's very light. And as I've been watching other analysis on this, on the video, I guess numerous people have suggested that this is a more benign kind of device, like a dirigible, a balloon, basically, a weather balloon type craft. You really can't tell from the video, right? You can't tell from the footage. It's just not clear enough at the distance it's at and the quality it's at to say for certain what it is. It certainly does look strange. It could be something benign, but his testimony is that from his direct firsthand experience that it was really strange, and that the whole event was strange. How that particular operation unfolded was really unusual, and that everyone on the team could feel it, that anyone that got in proximity to this device, craft, whatever it was, just knew there was something off about it. And I tend to believe him, I guess. Like I said, I feel like this gentleman is very genuine in his experience. I'm just not 100% convinced that it is what he say it is, or that he, in fact, has the knowledge to say with that level of certainty. I mean, easy for me to say, being very distant from it all. I want to believe him. I want to believe him. It sounds very interesting. And it's really strange since this interview has come out. It's about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, that this first came out, this news broke. But just 2 days ago, I believe, Trump's press secretary came out, because Trump had promised to find out what was going on with the drone activity over New Jersey that everyone was, in a flap about a couple weeks back, within his first few days of office, and then that didn't really happen. And I mean, yeah, he was signing all kinds of executive orders and doing other things. And then finally, someone challenged him, and the press secretary had to come out with some kind of statement, and it really fell flat. I don't know if anyone caught that news, but it was really just kind of a whitewash or a dismissal. It really felt kind of insulting, actually, the White House would come out with such a flat statement that really was just a dismissal and a go nowhere of, oh yes, these were FAA approved aircraft, and they were just benign, and the rest was just hobbyists and misidentifications, which is what we were hearing throughout the whole flap, and really contradicts a lot of statements by the FAA at the time several weeks ago. So it feels insulting, because it feels like you think we just forget all the details of that event that was just not even a month ago. So I feel like there's something else going on there. Trump, the White House, there's some kind of reason they could not follow through with that promise of delivering any real information about what happened. But maybe there's something that can be teased out of that statement a little bit, especially if we were to believe Jacob Barber, that he recovered this craft, and it was extremely exotic. Let's set aside the alien speculation. Let's just say it's extremely exotic aircraft. And it scans the description of this the craft, the video. It scans to other encounters we've seen of drones during that flap, of encounters throughout the last decade of sightings, people's experiences. It even is very similar to the Nimitz stuff, the Tic Tac video. It's not exactly the same. It's, more of an egg than a Tic Tac, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close, and it aligns with a lot of encounters and people's reports. So maybe we are closer to something cracking through here, breaking through the secrecy. Maybe we're about to find out something, because it feels like all these details are starting to stack up. Maybe there will be some kind of disclosure. I know that probably sounds really naive to some people that have been doing this a long time, a lot longer than me, because they're always talking about disclosure, and it never happens. The secrets are kept forever, and we just never find anything out, no matter how close we get. It just never actually comes out. But a part of me wants to hope that it will. Maybe that's foolish and naive. But yeah, maybe they're so inept. The rivets are coming off the ship a little bit, and they can't hold the secrets back anymore, just out of incompetence, which feels about right from everything else going on in the world. So yeah, really interesting. I'd love to know what other people think. So please, if you're listening to this in a format where you can comment, let me know in the show comments what you think about Jacob Barber and his story. If you think disclosure is coming, I'd like to know. I'll mention again, I've also got an email address for the show now. It's the Common Anomaly Podcast, all one word, at Gmail. Please feel free to send me your feedback, or your stories or encounters. I will keep all information private. I won't tell your story on the air, unless you explicitly give me permission to do so. But yeah, I just love to hear from my audience and hear feedback. So you can message me there, or leave a comment if you're able to, if you're listening on a platform where you can. So yeah, that's all I got for this week. Yeah, a bit of a shorter episode. I'm sorry, but a fun one. I actually like the way this turned out. This is a really interesting story, and I'm going to keep following it. So maybe we'll have some updates in the future if more comes out of this. So yeah, we'll call that a wrap on episode 6. Thanks for joining me again. Thanks for being understanding of the show this week. And yeah, that other episode, I think it's going to be really cool. I'm going to keep working on it. So maybe that'll be episode number 7, or who knows, maybe I'll just keep working on it. And because it's going to be a little bit of an outlier, a different style, maybe I'll just finish it and drop it somewhere as a midweek episode, a little Easter egg to watch out for, something like that. So yeah, it looks like it's going to be another cold weekend here in Calgary. The temperature is going to dip down to minus 25. So I think I'm going to chill this weekend and maybe have a fire again and stay cozy. So yeah, stay safe out there, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining the show. And join us again next week back at the Anomaly. Good night.
We'll be right back.